So I am Tim. I'm one of those alcoholics who's recovered from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and that just means I've got the 10-step promises. I've ceased fighting it. It's been taken away because I got my spiritual awakening through the steps, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. I will correct the sobriety date. I needed to be in AA in 1977. I did not make it to AA until I was 20 years old in 1981. And then I skipped around, bouncing in and out of AA until 1994, where I finally got dry. I did not get what I call sober. I just got dry. I'll cover that in a minute. I want to welcome all the newcomers. You are my peeps. I was a newcomer in AA for 13 years, over and over again. They called me the relapse queen of AA, and I was, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But first, if you are new and you haven't relapsed, just because we got a bunch of relapsers on here that are hard-headed and won't get the message, or like me, won't do what they're supposed to do, doesn't mean you need to go out and become a relapser. You can walk in on the ninth floor, get off of the ninth floor still nicely dressed and get the same recovery everybody else gets. It doesn't matter. Once we've crossed that line into alcoholism, right? I'm not going to spend a bunch of time talking about my drinking because everybody in here knows how to do that. If you aren't sure if drinking is a problem, please hang on after the meeting. Let's make sure you understand before you leave an AA meeting what an alcoholic is, because I came to AA for years and I had lots of psychiatrists and doctors, and everybody was asking me why I drink. Nobody sat down and explained why I drink. There's a huge difference. Got to understand the problem to get to the solution, right? Let me cover the basics right quick. I already gave you my sobriety dates. I am in service. I got started in service early on. I sponsor other sponsors, we like to say. Why? Because we work the steps by getting, we work the steps to get sober. We stay sober by giving it away. And I get my spiritual experience watching newcomers put their lives back together out of the burned ashes like a phoenix, right? It's wonderful stuff. So I get my power watching newcomers sober up and put their lives back together. And it's great stuff. I also do public information, cooperation with the professional community in AA. I'm part of that community where we reach out to professionals and the public and let them know that AA is here, that we have a solution for the little people that can't stay sober, and that we can help them rebuild their lives. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in AA. And yeah, I have a home group because I was told early on, if you're homeless in AA, you're soon to be homeless. And so I didn't want to be homeless, so I got a home group. I want to say this about if you're a newcomer, if you've got 7 days, 3 days, 8 days, 91 days, guess what? You never have to do those days again. You never have to do those days again. Nobody told me that. Or if they did, I didn't hear it, right? So I'm 20 years old. I found my higher power in the bottom of a mason jar of Kentucky moonshine when I was 13. Fixed everything that was wrong with the little guy, and the little guy had a lot wrong with him. I didn't become a daily drinker and alcoholic, but I look back on it, so I call myself a Dr. Bob alcoholic. Dr. Bob started out drinking in his freshman year of college, and by the second semester of his freshman year, the fraternity was calling his father, saying this guy needs to be committed, right? I was successful drinking and maintenance drinking for a while. It didn't turn into a daily drinking thing for a few years, but when it did, things went downhill really bad, really fast, because if you're using alcohol to maintain your actual walking life, if you're using it as a solution, you need more and more of it every day. And pretty soon, that habit gets really bad. Folks, I'm an end-stage alcoholic. If you're a first-stage alcoholic, second stage, third stage, doesn't matter. Once you've crossed that magic line into alcoholism, you can't cross back over, right? Top of page 24 of the big book, that magic line we crossed over, and we usually don't really understand where that happened until we look back on it from a period of sobriety, right? So I want to cover a few things. I was 20 years old. I was having some problems. Didn't know what those problems were. Was seeing a therapist three times a week. The therapist, God bless that little soul. One day he stuck a big book in my hand and told me to go home and read it and come back to my next appointment sober. And I was seeing this guy three times a week. And my first, I was deeply offended. He hadn't been listening to me, right? I have problems, don't you know? We need to address the problems. He wanted me sober. He thought that might be part of the problem. So I did what any good alcoholic would do. I went home. I decided I did need the therapist. I opened up the big book and I poured myself a nice tall whiskey, sat out on the back deck, and read the big book. And here's my first delusion. I'd been telling myself I could quit anytime I wanted to. I just never tried. So I tried to stop drinking. It went really badly. I'm not going to get into the drama of that. I found myself about 24 hours later in a detox unit in Boulder, Colorado, and they took me to the first AA meeting, and it scared the proverbial hell out of me. It was just, you people were crazy. You were laughing, you were all talking at the same time, you held hands and prayed, and from where I came from, that meant there were going to be some goats and chickens involved somewhere, and they would want a bank account. And that was just I was like, oh my God, I am in hell, right? I have gone from alcoholism hell to hell. And guys, alcohol worked for me. Page 51, 52 of the big book. It worked for a while. But then it stopped working. What I didn't know was that alcohol, that higher power I found in the bottom of that mason jar, was going to turn around like Bill Wilson forging a weapon, right? It was going to come back and kick and stab me in the back like a buckshot lover, right? It was just, it was coming at me. And to find out that my tool of life was about to be taken away from me was the scariest thing I'd ever thought of in my life. How would I live without alcohol? Now, I was in the rooms in Boulder, Colorado, and we were doing every pop psychology nonsense you can imagine. I mean, it was, I truly believe it was worse than today. We were worried about our inner children and hidden shame. Nobody sat down and explained the big book to me. They used it as a doorstop. And nobody was talking about the big book. And maybe there were a couple of people in there talking, but it wasn't drowning out the people that were just talking about themselves and their problems and their issues. And those things need to be talked about. That's why we have the unity of the rooms and sponsors. We call those sponsors with our problem. Let's bring the solution to a meeting for those that are having the same problem, right? So I'm running around AA trying to get sober off 35, 40 opinions in the room about what my problem is, and I can't stay sober. So they called me a 30-day wonder. And I kept doing that over and over and over and over again, not figuring out what my problem was. By 1994, I got into where I couldn't drink. I ended up in the ICU unit more times than I can count, where they used the jumper cables on you to stabilize your heart. You know, just minor little issues happening in my life because of alcohol. I still can't stop and stay stopped. Just like the folks who came together and wrote our big book. They wrote it, they could stop drinking. The problem was staying stopped. And that was always my problem. I would stop drinking. I would walk into a meeting. Dr. Silkworth, in one of his other papers, it's not in the big book. Oh my God, folks, I read this and all the little hairs on my back stood up. He said the alcoholic, he's talking about the sober alcoholic, has a sense of anxiety that amounts to nameless terror. Oh my God, that was me. Take away my liquor. All I had was anxiety and depression all at the same time. And I tell doctors today, if you have a patient that's presenting with anxiety and depression simultaneously, you probably have an addict or an alcoholic in front of you. Because normal people either experience anxiety or they experience depression. People who are in depression don't have anxiety. Right? We're the only ones crazy enough to have both at once. And of course, I had a dozen different diagnoses from different doctors that, and honestly, folks, I speak to a lot of doctors in the United States right now. They get between 0 and 2 hours of training for alcoholism and drug addiction. Isn't that amazing? That's down from like the 1990s, where they got 6-8 hours, and we thought that was low. So there are some doctors and psychiatrists out there that do know what's going on, but a lot of these people haven't cracked the book. Here's my suggestion about that. If a doctor or somebody's asking you why you drink, grab some of the people in this room that have read the big book and have them explain why you drink. I thought I drank because of my problems. Yeah, I had some problems. I had some stuff happen to me as a kid that shouldn't happen to any kid. I gotta tell you, after working those steps, what I did with that information was far worse than what happened to me. Because I used that information for 20 years to beat myself up, to tear myself down, to make excuses for drinking, using drugs, ignoring my feelings, trying not to have feelings, trying not to exist in the world. And what was I doing? Dr. Carl Jung said it. And thank God for Dr. Carl Jung, or none of us would be here. He was very instrumental in the start of AA, even though he didn't know it. Bill and Bob and some of the early people had read Carl Jung. Carl Jung's the one that said, guess what, doctors can't fix you, right? But a spiritual experience can. What was I looking for in those bottles, folks? I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was also looking for a spiritual experience in the bottom of a bottle. I needed a spiritual experience, and I was trying to get that out of the alcohol and other outside issues I was doing. Anything that would change how Tim felt, period. That's what I was after. Dr. Silkworth talks about it at the beginning of the big book. Men and women drink essentially because they don't like how they feel. They want an effect. They want to affect a change in their feelings. Normal people don't have that problem. That's not the issue for them, right? So, we're done with drinking. I go into a 90-day treatment center for gay men in San Francisco, the oldest one in San Francisco. And, of course, I was a closet gay for 13 years in AA. And I want to be real clear. The third tradition came from a gay guy who walked into Akron, Ohio in 1935. And that's where the third tradition came from. It's mentioned in the 12 and 12. He had another affliction. Everybody, alcoholism does not discriminate. And neither does AA. We are all here to help everybody. We don't care your identity. We don't care your skin color. We don't care your cultural background, your religion, your sect, your denomination. We don't care. We're here to help you with alcoholism. We have a common solution to the problem that we can absolutely agree. A common solution. Oh my God, who knew? Right? I was suffering from terminal uniqueness, right? My situation's different than me. Oh my God, here's my second delusion. If you had my problems, you'd drink just like me. Well, I didn't know I was sitting in a room full of people with the exact same problems. Some of you didn't have any problems. Some of you drink like Bill. You kind of meandered into your alcoholism over the years. You drink pretty well. Things were going good. I've sponsored and 12-step people that were CEOs of financial institutions, doctors, lawyers. They didn't have any issues. They weren't raised by my family. They were raised with loving, supportive families. And guess what? They're just as big a drunk as me. Fred the accountant on page 39, right? What's Fred's problems? He's got everything going for him, except he keeps ending up in the hospital unit just like me. Right? He takes a drink, everything goes off the rails, and he ends up back in the hospital again. And he can't fix it with self-knowledge or self-will. Would a Navy SEAL be the person you would think of that would probably have the most mind control, the most self-will of anyone in the world? And yet they can become an alcoholic just like me. There it is. No amount of self-will, no amount of willpower, sanity. So for the newcomers, real close, real quick, because I didn't understand this. Steps 1, 2, and 3 are decision steps. Am I an alcoholic? Do I really know what that means? Step 2, can I stop using my old ideas to stay sober and try some new ones? That's all it means. They told me I had to go find a higher power. No way was I going after that God I was raised with. He didn't like me, and I didn't like him, and I made it quite clear. No, can I just stop using my old ideas and try some new ones? Step three, am I willing to work the rest of the program? Boom, 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 we're done. Steps one, two, and three. The little guy who, so I get sober in 94, I'm just insane for a year. No booze, no solution. Suicidal 4 days out of seven, I'm not exaggerating. Thought about it all the time. Go to this little convention and this little guy grabs me up out of a panel. Takes me up to his hotel room, sets me down at a table, knee to knee, one alcoholic speaking with another alcoholic. He turned me into a recovered alcoholic that afternoon. Now, I didn't know it until I looked back on it. He explained alcoholism, what AA believes alcoholism is. Roman numeral page 26, any description of the alcoholic which leaves out the physical factor is incomplete. Gotta understand the first drink issue, right? They used to say, guys, I was so confused in the rooms when I was new. They would say, just don't take the first drink. And I would think, boy, these folks really need that A&A thing if they're getting in trouble on the first drink, right? My problems never started until the fourth, fifth, sixth case of scotch. That's when the train ran off the rails. Tell me how to deal with that, right? But nobody had explained the allergy, this abnormal reaction. And nobody had explained the delusion of and the obsession. So I didn't understand. This little guy sets me down. He explains this to me. He explains to me, my triggers are excuses. They aren't triggers. Trigger is a horse, right? Yes, the big book says on page 100-101, if triggers are still your problem, man, we got a problem. We still have somebody thinking like an alcoholic, right? So this little guy sets me down. He gives me the instructions for the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh step. He sends me back to San Francisco. He says, if you can't find anybody to help you get through sobriety, I'll fly out and we'll finish your step work. I went back to San Francisco, found these guys who were big book guys. They took me through the steps, got me into service. These guys were service junkies. Folks, I'm going to spend the last few minutes. It is the bonus round. If you're new, can you take somebody through a fourth and fifth step? No, not a good idea. Nobody in the room would agree with that. Can you sit down with a newcomer when you've got 5 days? Can you sit down with a newcomer that's got 2 days and explain alcoholism out of the big book? Explain the allergy. Give a couple of examples of how it affected you, how you promised you were going to go out and have those two martinis and then go home time after time after time. Can you explain how you swore with frothy emotional appeal you were never going to drink again? And yet there you were all lit up. That's all it takes. Sit down with the newcomer. You can affect a change with a newcomer better than I can with 32 years, because I got to be honest with you. When I sat in the rooms and somebody said they had 5 or 10 years sober, the first thought in my mind was, you're just lying. Or, you don't drink for the same reasons I do. Nobody who drinks like I drink could stay sober for 10 years. That's just impossible. It's possible, folks. It's possible. I would have never dreamed I had 32 years. I couldn't even put together 3 years, much less 32 years. And how did I do that? By giving back what was freely given to me. The freedom that we get, not only from alcoholism, but from our own stories. Stories I'd made up about myself that weren't necessarily true. Stories that kept me using instead of finding a life free of alcohol and the insanity of being Tim. So, I will finish. I know I'm out of time. I want to be real clear, folks. There are miracles waiting for you. If we could explain it, we would. The 10th step promises, the problem has been removed. I no longer think about alcohol. Now I get to get rid of all the things that have held Tim back. I get to get rid of all of those things. I no longer have to worry about you finding out who I am, because I don't care. The spirit of the universe knows who I am. That's all that matters today. Do I go to bed at night and do that 11th step and say, I did the best I could. Maybe I could have been a little better here. Maybe I should have spent a little more time with that guy or that guy. But I did the best I could that day. I'll do better tomorrow. One drunk at a time, folks. We save them one drunk at a time when everybody else failed to save them. If you want the bonus round, grab one of these folks in this room. I see the faces. I know who they are. They've read that big book. They know what AA believes. And they know that we can get you out of the belief systems that are keeping you in trouble and get you into some belief systems you can have real feelings about. You can go to bed at night and feel good about yourself. That's a miracle. I want to thank you for inviting me to speak. You can reach out to me at any time. We have Big Book Studies at our home group. We rock and roll the solution. You've been in the problem. Get into the solution. Thank you very much, and don't take this the wrong way. I love you very much.